Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter. Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I'm giving you these commands so that you may love one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Drawing lines is a part of life. There's no getting around it. Some lines are just placed there at birth without any say on our part. Race, the class of our parents, our living situation, what age group we get put into. We can't change these things. Of course, the choices we make as parents can also draw lines for our kids. Montessori preschool, preschool center, home daycare, or stay-at-home parent. Breast milk or formula. Disposable or cloth diapers. Of course, it only multiplies from there. We join teams and sports. We pick instruments or have instruments picked for us. We are grouped into school classes based on our abilities and our aptitude. We are told we can only go to certain schools based on our GPA and our test scores. We join specific workforces. We get divided into classes, get divided into tax brackets, and, well, it just keeps on going from there. We also choose ideologies to follow, political parties to join, causes to support, and our very own church, based on our ideas and our ideals. There are lines everywhere. God's people are no stranger to lines. In fact, being called God's people is a very specific line of its own. God's people were the descendants of Abraham, the chosen people, those who are identified by the covenant that God made specifically with them. The line was pretty clear. There was God's people, and then there was everyone else. God's people and the Gentiles, as they were known. And there was to be no crossing of this line. It was forbidden through all sorts of various ways, through instructing people not to marry non-Israelites. You had the Jewish food laws that kept people separate simply through making it difficult to eat with others if you don't know how food was being prepared. And being told outright not to associate with Gentiles, all the other people. Now, there have been notable exceptions throughout the Bible and the Old Testament. As God's people are getting ready to conquer Jericho, Rahab, a woman, hides the spies, and is not only spared when the Israelites take the city, but is also thought to be included in Jesus' lineage in Matthew. The prophet Elijah finds faith in a widow in Canaan when the faith of his own people is failing. But these are the exceptions. The line is still there. There are still God's people and everyone else. When Jesus shows up, we start seeing these lines crossed more frequently. There is the centurion, a Roman whose servant is healed by Jesus. The Canaanite woman whose daughter is healed after a particularly bold conversation with Jesus, where she points out that even the dogs get the scraps from the table. There is the woman at the well in the book of John, a Samaritan. But these are still the exceptions. After Jesus' death on the cross, resurrection, and ascension, his disciples assume that the line is going to stay in place. Even though Jesus tells them at the beginning of the book of Acts that you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, they assume that the lines will continue to hold, that there will still be that division between the Jews who became Christians and everyone else. However, then we get to Acts chapter 10, the first reading from today. At the beginning of the chapter, we meet Cornelius, whom we are told is a God-fearing centurion, which means while he believes in God, the God of Israel, he was still on the other side of that line. He was a Roman, a Gentile. But he is told in a dream, in a vision, to send for Peter. Yes, that Peter, one of the 12, the leader at that time. Cornelius does and is instructed and sends for Peter. Peter, meanwhile, is having his own vision. In this vision, a sheet is lowered from heaven, and on that sheet are all the animals Peter has been forbidden from eating his entire life due to the food laws. God gives Peter very clear instructions: kill and eat. Peter is dumbfounded. Lord, these are profane and unclean, and after all, you were the one who told me not to eat these, so what gives? However, God rebuffs Peter and tells him, what God has made clean, you must not call profane. Peter protests three more times, and God rebuffs him with the same line three more times. As Peter is still trying to figure out what this all means, Cornelius' men arrive and ask Peter to accompany them to Caesarea. He and some other believers go along with them and find themselves at Cornelius's, along with his family, friends, and household. Peter pulls no punches when he meets everyone. He states very clearly to the group, you yourselves know that it is unlawful for a Jew to associate with or to visit a Gentile. These are the stakes. This is the line. But Peter continued, but God has shown me that I should not call anyone profane or unclean. Peter is willing to cross the line by God's command, but he's still not quite sure what he's there for. He doesn't automatically assume it's to preach, to proclaim the gospel, to tell them about Jesus. So Cornelius is left to pick up Peter's slack, if you will. Cornelius then explains his vision and tells Peter, we're here to listen. It is only after this that Peter starts talking about Jesus. Jesus' life, ministry, death on the cross, resurrection, and what it all means. Peter finishes with, Jesus commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Everyone. And if those disciples didn't quite already get the point that this is for everyone, that God, Jesus is for everyone, the Holy Spirit comes down upon all those in the room, the Gentiles, making the point abundantly clear that the line is gone. It is no more. We are all about our lines. Our lines make life easier, cleaner. How are we supposed to know who is in and who is out without our lines? How do we know who is right and wrong? How do we know who is good and who is bad? For confirmation, one thing I do every year is I have a question bucket. I invite the youth to submit any questions I don't have time to deal with during class, because they ask really good and profound questions, and sometimes it's like, That's going to take like 5 minutes on its own, so we'll talk about this another time. Or sometimes they're just really way off topic, or they don't want to ask it in front of the entire group. I haven't gotten a time to get to the question bucket quite yet this year because I was supposed to do it last week and we were gone because kid puking. So, but one of the questions this year was, would Jesus kneel with the NFL players who were protesting racism in the country by kneeling during the national anthem? Which is a great and really relevant and topical question. And the answer I would give them is yes, Jesus would be kneeling with those football players. But Jesus would also be standing with those who stand with the Pledge of Allegiance. But maybe it's not that division that you're hung up on. Maybe instead it's conservative and progressive. Or maybe it's Black Lives Matter and Blue Lives Matter. Or maybe it's the 1% and the 99%. Whatever it is, you've put yourself on one side of the line, and everyone else on the other side is wrong, immoral, unclean, out. But the pesky thing is, Jesus doesn't really care about these lines, or whatever divisions or rules you put yourself on the right side of the line in order to make yourself feel better or feel right. Because sin is the great equalizer. Call it the sin of pride, the sin of actually being wrong, because yes, sometimes we're actually just wrong, or the sin of trying to play God and decide who's in and who's out, who's clean and who's unclean, who's holy and who's unholy. We're all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Which is why Peter's message to Cornelius is such good news for us too. Jesus came for everyone, died for everyone, rose for everyone, offers forgiveness for everyone, for those who kneel during the pledge and those who stand, for Black lives and blue lives, for progressives and conservatives, for the 1% and the 99%. For the clean and the unclean, for those who are in and those who are out, for Jews and Gentiles, for me and for you, no matter whatever side of whatever line you fall on. Through Jesus, the lines are gone. And above all those lines that we might want to draw, we find ourselves united instead as forgiven children of God. We'll hear it in communion today in the words of institution. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people. For all people, for the forgiveness of sins. There's so much out there that threatens to divide us, that makes us pass judgments on others and their worth. Which is why I think this story from Acts, the story of Peter and Cornelius, is and will continue to be so incredibly important for us. As we go forth from this place, we pray for courage to see others, not by the lines of our world, but instead as Jesus sees us, forgiven sinners, children of God, beloved, as clean, through what Jesus has done for us through the cross and the resurrection. Thanks be to God. Amen.